Welcome to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM, KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
This is a show where we drop nerd and geek knowledge on you. We used to do it every week, but this is almost
It's been a bit.
This might own... I'm looking back
when
through the
logs. When was the last time we did it? Was it last year?
No, we did one this year. It was the...
I think we did one this year.
The last one we did looks like the 25th of January. We actually have missed all of February.
Wow.
That was the short month. I would like to say it's a short month. The reason is, it's very simple. Sorry. Happy birthday to Red Bear, by the way. Well done. Yep. You've been a fantastic friend.
Being alive again.
It's going to hurt to see you go. It's going to be really hard. It's not like that movie, The Lobster. That was a good movie, though.
I'm scared. Colin Farrell.
No, so we've been getting overridden, and if you've been on our social media, you've known. We've been getting overridden by Southeastern Athletics. KSLU and their ongoing mission to support the school and support the Southeastern Athletics has been airing basketball and baseball and all these other types of games on top of and effectively pushing our show to the more like the 10 to 11 block. So instead of trying to fragment that out and giving like a 10-minute or a 20-minute show, which is not really what we're about, we instead just sort of chose to leave the old show in the system and kept airing that. And this is the first new show past January 25th, so we've missed like three.
Wow, that's crazy.
3 weeks of a show, but that's okay. We opened the entire thing up with an oldie but a goodie, Helix Nebula by Anna Monoguchi. We have a website where all of our older audio, again, I don't remember what it is, though. It's been so long. I think I still need to do two or three cuts to add the old audio from to become current. But Bear, in keeping with the show's traditions, what is the website?
You can go to exppoints.com. Remember to double tap the P.
We also have social media at exppoints.com/social. That's the landing page. Facebook, Google Plus, Twitter. You got Steam Community, YouTube, tons of stuff. We're on PayPal, Patreon if you want to donate to the show. Thank you very much. And we're on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and Google Play Music Services podcast if you would like to stream us there. If you don't want to just stream
us
from
so
the
many
show,
ways to stream us.
You can get us in almost every. I mean, short of like us burning a CD and like sending it to you.
I mean, I suppose if anyone wrote the station a letter requested us to burn them a CD, I would do it.
We might do it on Patreon. I don't know how legally how that would work. That we play other music.
We could still do it like we do online, where we cut out this middle segment.
Oh yeah, we could do that.
I would be willing to burn you a CD.
We'll send you a Blu-ray of all of the audio, all over 100 episodes. It's like a Garth Brooks sort of essentials. I went to Target recently and that's like all in the clearance aisle. It's like it used to be $112, now it's $8. The Garth Essential Collection. It's like,
please tell me you bought that.
19th. No, I don't need to buy it. I got Google Play. Anyway, this is a song. It's History Remaining Part 1 and or repeating Part 1 and Part 2 by the Megas. We'll come back. We'll talk to you about what we've been doing for the entire month of February. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
This is Experience Points on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM KSLU.
Hey, we're back on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM, KSLU, still Experience Points. I'm still MG.
I'm still Red Bear.
That was History Repeating, Part 1 and Part 2 by the Megas. This is the segment of the show where normally we talk about what we did last week, but since we've been gone for like 3 or 4 weeks, Bear, what have you been doing for the last month?
Dying.
All right.
Pollen. It's only pollen.
Everybody also has been dying.
Yes.
That's sort of how life goes.
So I re-beat Pokemon Moon.
Nice.
Yeah, because stupid save states.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's that's the newest one.
Yeah.
Or one half of the newest ones.
Yeah. It's
now you got to trade it in and get no money back for it, and you got to buy like Sun so that you can get the other. I don't know.
I love it when you try.
I don't know what I'm talking about. Anyway, keep going.
It's great. I also started watching Sense8, which is an interesting series. Although I'm like 5 episodes in, and like only one thing has actually happened. I've noticed.
Yeah.
Like I was just thinking about that earlier. The rest of it's really just been set up. So I'm expecting a big finale, or else I'm gonna be very disappointed.
Yeah.
And I read a book called Poor Unfortunate Souls: Tale of the Sea Witch. Which is Ursula's backstory.
It's a Little Mermaid, like Wicked, but for Little Mermaid.
Right, right. It's
not an incredibly insanely popular musical yet, but maybe soon. Never know. Hey,
but
look, people.
I've noticed that they actually have a lot of books like this. They have The Beast and stuff
Ursula
like that.
Ursula looks pretty hot on the front. I'm not going to lie. She looks like.
That's her human form. Yeah.
What? She had a human form?
Yeah.
Man, she is hottie. Hottie with a body. I mean, maybe not those tentacles, but
I mean,
some people would pay extra.
I've been on the internet.
That's it. So, a tale of the sea witch.
It's a really good. It's from Disney Plus. I will say it's much more mature than I was expecting.
Well, Disney owns Marvel, so maybe they're getting involved. They're
the first three pages. I don't know if I'd let a small child read this.
Do you have an extra? We'll look at the experts and we'll try to maybe for another show we'll do like a bear reading.
Bear reads.
Bears all or whatever.
Bears all. I don't know if that's legal.
No. Well, what else? Is that
I mean, pretty much, I've honestly been dying.
I've had an entire
allergies.
Month to die and read a book. It's 200 pages.
I'm back now, so yeah. I resurrected.
We're back. We're here.
Yay.
I ran to my body, and I pressed accept.
I really haven't been doing much but being lazy and watching Gilmore Girls.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, hold on. Can that really be called laziness? Really?
Really?
It is definitely not very geeky.
It's not I've not been very geeky lately. I'm sorry. I feel like a bad geek.
I think I've been geeky enough.
I'm not
giving
my card back.
I've been geeky enough for both of us.
Okay. You picked it up.
Okay. So, here's what I've been doing. First off, I got back in. I rebuilt a computer. That's what the last show was about. We talking about the parts we were going to put in there. And it seems crazy. I named the computer Ember. That's because it's a red and black
like it.
So
it's
that is
adorable.
That is the name of the computer, Ember. And for those that think that's stupid, hold on
you
one
can,
second.
No.
You have to, anything that you really care about, I believe, you should give a name to. The magnolia tree in my yard is named Herbert because I care about Herbert. I make sure that Herbert doesn't die when it gets really cold or really dry or whatever. You know, I try, sometimes Herbert, it's too cold for me to go out and help you, Herbert, but I mean, anyway, it's not about Herbert. But you name things that you care about. I care about this computer because I put a lot of effort and I think it is a reflection of myself, of my skill, of my abilities. To some extent, some money, you know, like I did spend a little bit of money on this thing, but if you want something to look nice and be nice, make it look nice, make it, you know, and it'll work for you. I feel like there's a very like Zen sort of karmic thing there. Maybe I'm ridiculous, but it helps me sleep at night. So anyway, I built the computer. That's the last show that we were talking about, and it's been doing fantastic. Though MSI, I have to admit, MSI has made some. MSI is a Taiwanese company, so they definitely are lacking in their quality control as far as like translations. Though it's not as terrible as I've seen, but some of their like Nahamic software for like audio in the Realtek audio HD manager, that's just hot garbage. It is terrible. It is awful. So I eventually I'm like, yeah, sure, install the stuff. And I don't think I've ever had an MSI board before. I have a Gigabyte, I have an Ace Rock. I used to exclusively buy EVGA motherboards, and I have since then just sort of, you know, I branched out. I still buy EVGA cards. I'm definitely always going to buy NVIDIA cards just because. Just don't get me started on AMD whatever. But, you know, so I built the computer. I've been working with the computer. It's good. It's working now. I'm actually in the process of producing a couple drinking games because we fell off of doing those for a little bit, mainly because of the flood. The flood happened in August. We haven't done one since, so it's been 6, 7, 8 months.
Right.
It's time to get back on that horse.
Do have a case of rum.
Okay. All right. Well, okay.
I'm ready.
I went through, and you can't have a good battle station if you don't know what battle station is. You can't have a good battle station without a good desk. And some desks, you don't have to have an immaculate desk. You can have a desk made up of filing cabinets and a board. But, you know, I had a really good desk. I had a really good desk before the flood, and that my father and I had made that sort of got damaged in the flood. The moisture got to the wood. It was all reclaimed, I think, wood from scaffolding. That had been, we'd planed it down, we'd stained it, we'd sanded it. It was really, really good. I have the best people. They say it was great. Anyway, so that started to split and separate a little bit. I went ahead and I became a carpentry not really a genius, but I did a lot of work with it.
I got in build mode.
Well, it's made up of like 8 different pieces of wood and glue. So
and glue.
There's that. And it had split, so it was. I had to sand it down. I'd started dealing with epoxy. So the entire...
To be fair, I have no idea what you're talking about at this point.
So 2.5 by 6 foot worth of epoxy. Epoxy is like what you find on top of bar tables
like
or whatever. Yeah, resin. That's what it is. Epoxy resin. That's the name of it. Epoxy. Two-part epoxy resin. So one-to-one resin. I spent a lot of money, probably like $200, on resin itself because I kept doing the wrong things. Eventually, now I have a desk that is like a glass plastic top on it. Very, very nice. Very easy to sit at. Got the LEDs functionally run underneath it so I can do things. Desk is put together, monitor is mounted on the wall, speakers are good. I'm back to it. I'm back. So we're, yeah, it was really good.
Wow.
I am good. It's so good. And then I started playing some games. I started playing, what did I play? I played Banished, a lot of Banished. I started playing some Resident Evil 7, which is, it's going to have to be a separate review because we don't have a lot of time because we do have some news to get through.
Yeah,
but Resident Evil 7.
Something happened in a month?
Yeah, yeah. Weird. Believe it or not. And then I decided, I got really into this mode where I was like, you know what I really want to play? I really, really want to play Halo. I really want to play Halo. I haven't played Halo in a while, so I bought an Xbox One S.
I do enjoy some Halos.
I got the white Xbox One S, and I didn't choose it to be white. I think it's just how the bundle came, because it came with the Master Chief Collection, which is Halos 1 through 4 remastered.
Right.
And then Halo 5 Guardians, which is just on the Xbox One S already. So the only one I'm really missing is ODST, which is available via download. And, which I'm probably never going to get because, let's just face it, doesn't matter. And then there's Halo Wars 1 and 2, which I'll probably never get, even though Halo Wars 2 is coming out like today or has just come out, and I don't really care about that. But Halo
RTS
Reach.
RTS on console always felt weird to me.
Right, but I think Halo Wars, so the nice thing about that is you buy it for Xbox, you can play it on the computer thanks to Xbox Live,
okay,
Xbox Crossplay or whatever, All Play or whatever. Halo Reach is the only one I care about, and $25,
Reach
you get the
was really
you
good.
Get the backwards compatible version for Xbox One S. But the setup was such a mind-blowing experience because you think you just get a console, you plug it in, and it should work. That's how it used to work for regular and super
that's,
and whatever.
That's what's so nice about consoles.
That's what's really nice, or should be at least.
But then Microsoft.
The issue became, as soon as I plugged the thing in, I turn it on, it's like, hey, we noticed that, you know, you have a wireless network, which one's yours? And I plug it in and I say, yeah, this is mine. It's all Battlestar Galactica themed, so I got Galactica and Pegasus. Is the new 5 gigahertz one, and Galactica is the older 2.4.
I have Usagi is my 5 gigahertz, and Nostromo is my 2.4.
There you go. Alien's about to come out with a new movie, too.
Yes.
Anyway, so I connected, and it's like, huh, we see that there's an update available. We're going to go ahead and do this update. 1.5 gigs worth of update. I'm like, that's cool. I got fast network. Well, Microsoft doesn't really have fast servers sometimes, so.
Then consoles seem to not download things quickly.
It's installing to a 5400 RPM drive. So it's installing to almost the worst possible drive you can install it to, while at the same time having to download it to the same place and inflate it. So it's a classic just problem of, well, we could add 2 hard drives, but that's increasing the price, and we could add more cache, but then that's going to increase the price, and you can put another drive in there, but you have to void your warranty to do that. It's a terrible thing, but whatever. Anyway, it finally, I think it's done. I go in, because I stopped looking at it, I go back and I play more Banished because I'm obsessed with the game right now. I don't know why, but I wanted to do city building. I go back in there and the game's off. The console's off. So I turn it back on. It says, oh, hey, we're resuming your update. And I'm like, what do you mean you resume? I didn't tell you to turn off. It does that a couple more times. Finds out that, like, apparently something was wrong with the update. Like, something, like, goofed in the update. But it didn't say that. So it goes through and it tries to start installing Guardians. Because apparently when you have a really big game on a disc, you have to put the disc in and it downloads the game to the hard drive so that it streams the bare minimum from the disc so that it can give you a quality game experience. Makes sense.
Okay.
It's like a 60 gig game from disc to hard drive download. So I'm eating up, like, I only got the 500 gig version. I'm eating up a lot of hard drive just for one game. Like, you know, almost a fifth of it. It's down, because that's not without updates and everything. So it's downloading, and it just clicks off right in front of me. Like, it doesn't give me a, you know, doo-doo-doo, like a little sleep sign or whatever. It just shuts off, like it overheated, or
wow,
like I just pulled the power.
Fun.
So I'm like, this thing has been out of the box for less than 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
What is going on? I turn it back on. I do the same thing. I'm on the Halo channel watching Nightfall episode 1 or whatever. And it does it again. And I'm like, all right, well, this isn't okay. I go to the forums. I look at all the support things. And I do everything in the forums that they say. I try disconnecting the wireless network because apparently my AT&T router can turn it off. I run a wire. That doesn't work. It turns off. I try to make sure that it's not overheating. It's not giving me the overheating message. Eventually, I talk to Anita A., on Microsoft support.
We
come to the conclusion.
You had a bad weekend.
It wasn't bad. You know, she was very nice. I told her everything that I had done, and she's like, wow, yeah, that's in everything in my script. I was going to tell you to do all of that. And I'm like, yeah, I did it all. And she's like, well, I'm going to go ahead and generate a number. You know, can you send it back to Amazon? And the sad thing was, they were doing a $50 off thing on the bundle, and I bought the last one. So if I sent it back, yeah, they'd give me my money back, but then I wouldn't get another console. I'd have to go find another console somewhere else, which would be fine, but then I'd have to mail that back and I have to wait. And I kind of wanted to play Halo, you know? I was really in the mood.
Right.
At that point, I'm just like, throw it away. Except that Crackdown 3 is coming out very, very soon, and I really want to play that too, and that's an exclusive. So move forward a little bit. She's like, is there one last thing that I can do? She's like, yeah, you could do like a full system reset. This was after I had turned it on a number of times to like get the game to install. Mm-hmm. She's like, you could do a full system reset. Just keep your apps, keep your games. If that doesn't work, do a full system reset, completely wipe it. And I'm like, all right, cool. I did a partial reset and it worked. It hasn't done anything crazy. It was a bad update. Apparently, it like wiped it all. It had to reinstall the update. It kept the download, because that's a thing that they do. They keep the downloads until they're significantly old or older. But yeah, it worked. So I did that. And then I played Halo, and I beat Halo like in 8 or 9 hours.
It sounds
Halo
like you 5. Set it up more than played it.
Almost. It was kind of a crap experience. I enjoyed it, but it was very much, it had all the good things of Halo 2 to it. It had all the bad things of every other Halo out there except 1 and mm-hmm. Reach. It tried to do a lot in a small amount of time. It was run and gun, do it, and then cliffhanger ending, and I'm kind of like, and I know I'm coming to the party late on this, because Halo 5 was released in 2015.
Yeah.
But I mean, I was so pumped to play this now that the Xbox One S came out. It wasn't a Gen 1 type of product. And it just, I don't know, it fell flat for me. I'll probably go back through and I'll play it, maybe co-op or Legendary or something. And that'll be fun. You know, I'll get money out of it. I'll get my time out of it. But I don't know. And if not, I'll just trade it in. I don't know. I feel like with Halo 6 coming out, almost at this point, the engine's so good. Just release Halo 6 as like a story DLC pack for the same engine. There's no reason. We're getting to that point where, like, what are you going to innovate in this? It's a standard engine. It's a standard story. I don't know that much changed from Halo 4 to Halo 5. And that was an entire generation change. So, like, what are you going to do?
Right.
It change the engine or whatever. But anyway, and then the final thing is I pre-ordered Mass Effect today. So I'm going to be playing Andromeda on the 16th, so like in 2 weeks, when it comes out, I think it comes out on the 16th, maybe the 21st. But the cool thing is I bought and pre-ordered and preloaded and have now played, I guess, 4 or 5 hours of Horizon Zero Dawn for PlayStation 4. It's a PS4 exclusive by Guerrilla Studios, about a post-apocalypse. It's almost like Tomb Raider, The Last of Us. How am I going to explain this? Far Cry 4, just a ton of those like survival, gritty, whatever games, and I am loving it. It is the reason to buy a PlayStation 4. If you own one, you need to buy this game if you like games like that. If you don't own a PlayStation 4, you need to get one in order to play games like that. Look at some reviews. We're going to be posting a review on the site pretty soon about it. So yeah, and then I think I have Rare Replay sitting in my mailbox right now.
Ooh,
so I can play Perfect Dark 1 and Banjo-Kazooie and Conker's Bad Fur Day and Killer Instinct. So we're gonna do that. Let's get to a song, come back, talk about some of the news. GEEK Culture is Dead by Kirby Crackle. You're listening to this exclusively on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM KSLU.
Hey, we're back on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU, still Experience Points. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
That was GEEK Culture is Dead by Kirby Crackle. Let's go through some of the news that has been happening in no particular order. Actually, I printed these out, so it's in the order of the least to most pages. And I guess in a way that's sort of like I think it's mostly in that order. Maybe some one-offs here and there. Let's start with the big one, the one that we really care about, because I love movies. I'm a Studio Ghibli fan, like big. Like Princess Mononoke. You have Nausicaa, the Valley of the Wind. I think Nausicaa is, I certainly like, everyone loves Princess Mononoke. Like that's the big one that everyone, I guess, references as like the perfect whatever. Ponyo didn't really do anything for me, but like, because I liked Kiki's Delivery Service more than Ponyo.
I liked Kiki's.
I really liked Laputa, Castle in the Sky, Howl's Moving Castle. Ponyo wasn't bad.
I'm
gonna backpedal on that. Ponyo wasn't bad.
No, it was just good. I did like Kiki's Delivery Service.
Arrietty,
Secret
World of Arrietty. That was garbage in my opinion, but because it was literally just a Japanese version of the Littlers or the Followers or the Littles.
Oh yeah, I forgot about
whatever.
That.
I think honestly, Mononoke is certainly one of my favorite movies, but I think it's topped by Nausicaa, the Valley of the Wind. Because
really good.
That was the first Studio Ghibli movie that I saw that I think I cried. I cried in Princess Mononoke too, but I'm tearing up right now. Actually, hold on.
That's the pollen.
Yeah. So Mononoke just turned like 20, I think, recently.
Oh wow.
Yeah, I think pretty recently. The common denominator here is Hayao Miyazaki. Now, normally, you know, if Miyazaki had passed away, we'd be very different, you know. And actually, he's very old. I'm worried about when that happens. But in 2013, it was announced, he says, I'm retiring. This is a paraphrase. He didn't say this. But he says, I'm retiring. I've been doing too much. I'm taking it out. You know, we're done. Spirited Away. That's the other one that everyone loves. Spirited Away was like the new generation of Ghibli lovers. Anyway, in 2013, he says, this time it's for real. You know, I'm doing that. Well, his retirement is officially over. Suzuki said recently, that's his producer. He says, you know, he's coming back. He wants to try to make a new type of movie, CG-based movie, because he's never done that before. And he wants to do that.
Should be
so
interesting.
Fantastic news. The only thing that we have to do now is just knock that news down with news that beloved actor and certain geek Bill Paxton dies at 61. He was having some surgery complications after that surgery. Unfortunately, had the actor die. Known for Aliens. Game over, man. Game over. Titanic. Yeah. I can't remember who he played in Titanic, honestly. I think he played maybe one of the rich guys.
I have no idea.
Oh, no, wait. He was the guy that was going, like, pulling the... He was the Jacques Cousteau of the team that was pulling it up. The people that we didn't see much of. Because we were in, not in the future, not in the present. We were in the past. And then Apollo 13, if you don't know who Bill Paxton was in that, man, woo. Also in Twister, that was what he was really known for. He pretty much put, like, storm chasers on the map with that movie. And he was slated to, or I guess he's in the movie with Emma Watson and Tom Hanks called The Circle. It's a movie about Silicon Valley and a few things in that. He was on Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. He was in The Predator, Terminator, and in, like I said, Alien. He's one of the only actors to actually be killed by every one of those. The Terminator, the Alien, and the Predator.
That's
which
some
is,
notoriety right
which
there.
Which is really, really nice. I'm talking about like not like killed in one of the AVP sort of movies. Like, that's kind of cheating. And you can only really be killed by one of those at the time. Like,
true.
You know, unless they team up and decide to do some stuff. So, you know, Bill Paxton, fantastic. He was in Weird Science. He was Chet in Weird Science.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He was a big piece of Chet, but...
that joke is never gonna die.
Fantastic actor. And from what I understand, he was an all-around, like, good guy actor. Like, it wasn't... Some actors, they get too big for their metaphorical britches, and they
britches.
Decide...
Wow.
We're going to make this a country show all of a sudden.
Nope.
Yeehaw! Wee,
Sarah's whoosh. Done. Bye.
No, so the whole... I guess the whole thing I want to say is thanks. You know, you're never going to hear this. You're dead. That's not how it works. But,
no, that's not how it works.
You know,
but...
if you've ever watched a movie and you've been like, man, that guy's awesome, well, yeah, he was. He totally was. So, another slightly better news... Mystery Science Theater 3000, the reboot, the continuation, has a release
date.
The hype
is real.
Has a release date. It'll be released April 14th on Netflix. We got Patton Oswalt. We've got Felicia Day. We've got the original Jonah Ray. I mean, we've got...
Tom Servo?
Yeah, we got Tom Servo. We got we got everybody. The entire
gang's back
here.
Together.
Look at that. Look at that. I'm passing her this image of the. It was a Kickstarter.
I can't wait.
It was a Kickstarter. Now they're doing it. It's back on Netflix. Super excited. Apparently, from what Rob Bricken over at Kotaku says, and I'm quoting his article right now. He goes. These sorts of reboots can be fraught with stress for fans, whether they can recapture the magic, whether they can still have the knack, if all the changes will prevent it from feeling like the original. And I just, and then there's dot, dot, dot. He says, I'm just not worried about the new Mystery Science Theater 3000, you guys. I'm excited. Excited to meet another new crew, excited to see what creator Joel Hodgkin's going to do with it, and most of all, just excited it all came back at all. So it came back at all. So fantastic news.
I mean, it's supposed to be cheesy, so I don't really see how they're gonna screw it up.
Just don't take it so seriously. Like, if you don't take it so seriously, it won't be bad. Like, it can't
even be. Even if it's bad, it's good.
Well, that's the point. That's
right.
The you know
so
that's the whole that's riff
really
tracks. That's
up.
The whole that's what's riffing on things is all about. You know, up next, and this happened February 10th is when in Steam they posted that Steam is going to, or Valve is going to kill the Steam Greenlight program. Now I've upvoted things, and for those that know, Greenlight's effectively like a, you know, would you buy it, add it or axe it sort of thing. You look at a game, you look at like their Steam page, but it's not actually on Steam yet. It's just in like Steam Greenlight, and you say, yeah, I'd buy that, or yeah, I'm gonna vote this up. And the cream from the crap sort of thing. Like, they scoop the cream off and they add it to Steam after it's achieved a certain amount of success in Steam Greenlight, and then it becomes like a normal Steam game. You can go ahead and you can, you know, you can buy it like normal.
Right.
So typically what you see is Indiegogo, GoFundMes, and Kickstarters also have a Steam green light, and that will supplement, you know, that'll supplement the early access sort of ability or availability of the games. Minor point, Aegis Innocence, which is a fantastic game produced by some local individuals. You remember Eric Patton.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic game. It's on, I think I pitched it on the Experience Points Facebook. Go ahead, take a look. Their Kickstarter ends in 6 days, and I know they're well away from their goal, but look at it. Show these guys some support, because games like that don't just come around very often. It's a good pixel art sort of RPG-based hack-and-slash platformer. Fantastic artwork, great sound. They showed a gameplay demo off very, very recently, and I fell in love with the game. I backed it. I wanted to be a tester. I wanted to do all this stuff. Again, for the $60,000 goal, I know that they were just over $10,000 and very recently, with 6 days to go, it doesn't look promising, but we can do some magic, I think. Like, you know, the Kickstarter community, especially if it's got a push or a, you know, I'm gonna throw them out a bone here. I'm gonna go ahead and reshare it out. If you have friends that thinks, you know, that think that would, they would like that type of gameplay, go ahead and look it up and share it out. And I don't know, throw some money at a wall, see what mm-hmm. sticks. It'll be really good. More money, more better, right? Anyway. Not to say that they were also on Steam Greenlight. They got green lit, wow. more or less. I think they got green lit, or maybe being green lit is you are funded. Green being on Steam Greenlight is just in the system.
Yeah, I think.
Greenlight is being replaced by Steam Direct. This is effectively what it will replace. But this is a quote: "We will ask new developers." I assume this is from Valve. "We will ask new developers to complete a set of digital paperwork, personal or company verification, and tax documents similar to the process of applying for a bank account. Once set up, developers will pay a recoupable application fee for each new title they wish to distribute, which is intended to decrease the noise in the submission pipeline." So you don't have to count any upvotes. You don't have to do anything about, you know, trying to entice people to vote for your game. You pay for it, and then it's in Steam. Apparently, what this is, they're
pay to play.
It's pay to, well, it's pay to purchase sort of thing. Yeah. Be purchasable.
Pay to purchase.
The idea here is that there's this discovery algorithm that the Steam system uses.
They feel confident.
They feel pretty confident in it. Yeah, they're like definitely.
I don't know how I feel about it.
They're definitely banking on it, which is you know, it'll be nice, I guess. But whatever. EA, the rest of the Battlefield 1 DLC, EA has announced it. It'll be coming out in March. They Shall Not Pass. But then they've also came up with In the Name of the Tsar, which will be on the focus on Russian fronts of World War One, so we'll be doing that. Snow covered maps, naval warfare will be expanded with Turning Tides. Gallipoli will also make an appearance, and there will be story mode and multiplayer inclusions. I'm sorry, the parts of the single player Battle of Gallipoli will also make its way into multiplayer is what I meant. They're not adding anything to single player. And then we have Apocalypse. It'll bring the infamous battles of World War One to Battlefield One, which is what we wanted. What we wanted. 100 Days Offensive, things like that. So 20 new weapons, 16 new maps, tons of stuff for us to do if you played Battlefield One, which I don't, but it's on sale. I think it's $27 on Origin, if you can install Origin and find that. If you're going to be playing Mass Effect Andromeda, you're going to need to find, you know, Origin and install that. Remember last year whenever Turok got remade by Night Dive?
Night Dive
Studios, they re-released and remastered Turok 1, yes, Dinosaur Hunter.
I do remember that.
This year, soon, in 16 days, 15 days, March 16th, they're going to be releasing the remastered version of Turok 2, Seeds of Evil, which I never played. I played and beat Turok 1 on N64. Okay. Loved it after the fact, but loved it. Turok 2, Seeds of Evil, I just don't know. I don't know what it's about. I think it's probably going to be like Prey, where Prey 2 is completely different. Prey is just completely different than Prey. So it's more of a different reboot, remake thing. Which is a little strange, but whatever. And then the big news, and this is we're gonna come back and talk about this because this is our big news of the month.
It's a small segment.
Yeah. You know what? Let's listen to two. Let's listen to Absolute Territory by Ken Ashcore and Leaving Earth from the Mass Effect 3 soundtrack in honor of Andromeda coming out soon.
Sounds
I'm
good.
MG.
I'm Red Bear.
This is Experience Points exclusively on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM KSLU.
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM, KSLU, still Experience Points. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
This is going to be the last segment of the show, so, you know, deal with it. This is, we just listened to Leaving Earth.
We'll be back in like 2 years.
Right. Leaving Earth by Mass Effect 3 and Absolute Territory by Ken Ashcore. Let's talk about our primary main segment. It's the big one of, I guess, the whole month of February, and it's about PewDiePie.
Of course it's about PewDiePie.
Effectively PewDiePie. I'm not going to use, like, Klesberg, whatever his name is, but...
PewDiePie,
he was trying to talk about how ridiculous the site Fiverr is, so he paid some Indian gentleman $5 to hold up a sign that said, and I don't subscribe to this, but it said,
yeah, no,
quote,
not at all,
death to all Jews, end quote. That's what on the sign, and apparently, like, Fiverr is a site where you pay $5 and literally can get people to do almost anything. It's usually used for, like, paint a picture of me with pudding for $5. Kind of like Patreon ridiculous, but like you can get people like, you know, make a haiku for $5.
Right.
You know, make a dog tag for $5. Do some talent that you think is worth only $5 and then send it to me or whatever. So you get it with like music anyway. Anyway, the Wall Street Journal picked that out and literally called Maker Studios. Maker Studios is owned by Disney, and it's effectively...
Which I didn't know until the story broke.
Right, no one did. you're forgiven, because no one knew that. It's stupid knowledge. It doesn't make any sense.
You think you would know that, because Disney owns literally everything.
Well, yeah, you'd think, but...
The mouse is everywhere.
Anyway, there's a mouse in the house, and the house is the world, and the world is in the universe, and we live in the universe. So anyway, PewDiePie, they dropped him. Disney dropped his premium...
This is business. This is his livelihood.
Maker Studios was responsible for his red, YouTube red sort of show, Scare PewDiePie, so they dropped that. And then YouTube follows suit and says, well, that's not what we're about either. We dropped his preferential advertising, sort of his affiliate advertising, that preferred his channel because it was a large channel. He's the most subscribed, most successful YouTuber in history, in the short history of YouTube. But he's up there. He makes millions of dollars a year. So... PewDiePie apologizes for... He came through a video and he says, listen, I'm real sorry because... And he actually had a pretty good quote. He goes... give me a minute to find it just because... I feel like it was good. He says... in his words, I'm not going to do his accent, he goes, I'm sorry for the words that I use, as I know they offended people, and I admit that the joke itself went too far. I do strongly believe that you can joke about anything, but I also believe there's a right way and not the best way to joke about things. I love to push boundaries, but I would consider myself a rookie comedian, and I've definitely made mistakes like this before. But it's always been a learning and growing experience for me. This whole situation has definitely been that for me. It's something I'm going to have to keep in mind going forward. But the reaction and the outrage has been nothing but insanity. People celebrating the fact that my show got canceled, which is something that literally hundreds of people worked on. Is that fair? Is that worth celebrating over some jokes that you disagree with? End quote. He thanked everybody at the end of the video. He was saying, you know, really, thanks for sticking by me. But what do you think? I mean, it seems like a bit of an overreaction. It seems like they were definitely, Wall Street Journal was definitely taking some of his other videos out of context. And context matters.
I was about to say, I do feel context is the big issue here. Was the joke too much? Yeah, he even said it's too much.
Yeah.
But the Wall Street Journal really blew this out of proportion. I think that's what's attacked everything, and context matters.
He definitely had, I think, a point, and it's something that we, you know, being on radio, we can acknowledge sort of. It's this sort of fight between print media and this non-print media. I imagine the cable companies are going through it right now because things like Netflix, things like Amazon Prime or Amazon Video, Hulu, any of those things that are streamable that offer substantially I guess, indistinguishable quality-wise content. House of Cards. House of Cards is an amazing series.
Great one.
Jessica Jones. The Luke Cage show. I mean, all of these network, or the Orange is the New Black. All these Netflix shows that have never been or appeared on syndicated cable television. I mean, they're giving them a run for their money. In this case, the Wall Street Journal is print media. This is print media, and
correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the whole point of that Fiverr thing was to show how ridiculous
that's
it
what
was.
The whole point was, is I paid $5 to some people to do this ridiculous thing, and they did it. Why is this allowed to be a thing?
Yeah,
you know,
it was this whole video.
It was, and then again, that's the context that I think the Wall Street Journal is kind of leaving out. Now, you know, does PewDiePie go too far? Yeah, is he gonna hurt from this? No, I mean, let's be realistic.
I mean, yeah, He's set anyway.
Yeah, he said if he never does anything else.
Still, but he had a point, though, because this is affecting not only him, but everyone who works for him.
Right, yeah, the hundreds of people that worked
and
on the show.
If you think a YouTuber like him just sits there with a webcam.
Well, he does in his normal channel. Yeah. He just plays videos. But the scare of PewDiePie, it was a produced situation.
That's my point.
So, which is unfortunate, but whatever. I mean, he'll be fine. It's kind of frustrating. I don't know what side I'm on. Like, I'm clearly on his side of, like, yeah, freedom of speech. I mean, he's in, like, Sweden. Like, he can do whatever their government allows, and he's making money on YouTube just being himself. That's the personality
he can
pay for.
I think the whole question is, should he have ever done it? No, he shouldn't have. It was a mistake. Should the Wall Street Journal have ran an article with no context? No, they shouldn't have.
Well, that's just bad journalism.
That's bad journalism. And in the end, he does apologize, and he admits it's wrong.
Now, the Wall Street Journal does come back,
and they
says
rebutted.
Yeah, he says, we stand by the reporting. This is Colleen Schwartz. She's a spokeswoman for Dow Jones, which owns Wall Street Journal. Mr. Kjellberg,
PewDiePie
didn't address some of the other videos highlighted by the journal, including one that has since been taken down, in which he showed a man dressed as Jesus Christ saying, quote, Hitler did absolutely nothing wrong, end quote. In that January 22nd video, he criticized the Israel-based website Fiverr for temporarily suspending the Jesus Portrayers account on the site. Quote, isn't it ironic that Jews found another way to the F word, Jesus over, end quote, Mr. Kjellberg asked in that video. Are those okay things to ask? Well, no, it's going to upset some people, and he has said that.
Right.
And should he be absolved of all the negative things he says? Well, no, but I mean, he did apologize, and I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, what fight are you really fighting here? Like, his show taken away, he's still going to
I think that's the point. What is the point of
his show got taken away, but it's not like he got kicked off YouTube. He didn't do anything wrong, like, actually, like, illegal. He used the system.
He didn't break the agreement.
Yeah, he didn't break the agreement. He did something to cause a stir. He caused a stir, and that's what entertainment is. I mean, what do you think Kim Kardashian does on Keeping Up With, you know, what is that? It's always,
I literally have no idea.
Yeah, me neither. I'm saying words.
I now know
it's easy to pick on Kim Kardashian. She's a real person. Leave Kim alone. Okay, anyway.
Well, then.
We are going to end the show with a song, like we do every night, children.
Crazy.
We're going to end it with Torakai. This is actually off of the Ghost in the Shell soundtrack from the movie, the original movie, not the new one coming out. But we did see the new trailer, and it looks pretty awesome.
Yeah, it looks pretty awesome.
I definitely like the animated movie better. I can just tell. I can just tell from now, like right now.
I do feel like I'm going to be in your boat.
Yeah, it's hello. That's not a metaphor.
Well,
no, I mean the animated, the original anime is just amazing. You know, it's timeless.
Really was.
It's
so
timeless.
Go and watch it now. What are you doing?
It's timeless and
our
amazing. The one from 95.
Watch Ghost of the Shell movie.
The new one's definitely going to be separate. You know, it's similar. It's got some nods to the original, but don't look at it as being a remake or a reboot. It's just not. It just can't be.
Right.
And I think as soon as people jump off of the you can't do it better than the original. Well, no, I don't know that the intention is to do it better. They're two completely different media. Mediums. They're both cinema. They're both cinematography and film, but one's animated, and you can just do things better in some ways. And then don't equate them.
Medium
they can't
have their as their advantage.
Don't equate them. You know, it's like saying a rock ballad and a poem are the exact same. Well, no, they're similar because they're both poetry in a way, but one is through music and singing, and one is through expression via words, spoken word, written word. It's just different. So, on that incredibly deep, uncharacteristically deep note that we had on, I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
We are going to end the show by telling you what website we have and where it is. Bear, where is the website?
You can go to exppoints.com. Remember to double tap the P.
We also have a social media landing page at exppoints.com/social. That's Google+, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Steam community. We also have PayPal and Patreon if you want to donate some money. Thank you very much. And check us out on all those things. Like, subscribe. We are giving away free games, random games, if you go to Facebook and like our post about that. It's towards the top. Also, we have iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music Service podcasts, and Spotify. If you don't want to stream from the show, if you want to syndicate and put it on your device, whatever device you have.
Whatever you want it at.
Android, iPhone. I think it's even on BlackBerry. Don't quote me. I don't know. We might be on the new Nokia 3350, which is really like the old Nokia.
I know. I saw that, actually.
That's kind of strange.
What is Nokia doing?
I don't know. They're like, hey, people are liking old stuff again. The Nintendo's selling really well. Let's go ahead and do that.
It could surprise me. It may sell well.
Anyway, that's the show. That's a wrap. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
This is Torakai by Gabriel Robin. We will catch you hopefully next week
hopefully,
if sports don't happen.
Although good sports.
From 9 to 10 p.m. on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM KSLU.